finally died down after a couple days. What was it, 40 to 50 mile per hour wind gusts we had? That was a rough weekend coming out from that storm. We forecasted it, right? I mean, we had the rain and some wind on Saturday, but the idea was that there'd be more wind behind the system on Sunday with that really dry air that started funneling back in behind that, you know, accompanied by high pressure trying to push the system off the coast. It was your typical funneling effect.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that low pressure that kind of just hung out over the North Atlantic for a little bit of an extended period of time. And some of the official wind gusts that we had, we got up to 48 near the coast in Wallops Island. And even inland Salisbury had a registered 47 from the Weather Service. So definitely was, even inland, you could have those stronger wind gusts, not just limited to the coast where we usually see maybe 5-10 miles an hour faster.
Yeah, with
we
less
even
friction.
Saw it. Yeah, even inland this time. So just showed like how tightly packed that gradient was. And it was really quite a windy night, you know. Heard a little bit of howling, some things flying around, a few garbage cans and a few trees.
I did see that too.
A few trees around, you know, when I was driving in the morning that freshly fell down on the road eventually. So
well, we had the soft ground from this incredibly wet start to the month, so that added in, I think, some of the trees falling there. But I think you were even talking about a few power outages there early in the morning, or at least we noted that early Monday morning there were some power outages across the area from some of those limbs coming down, some of those trees coming down.
Yeah, and already, like you mentioned, how inundated we were, that was kind of a recipe for some minor wind damage, not anything extensive,
right.
But still was just a sign that even with the low and high pressure, we can get strong winds. We don't necessarily need this potent storm to really crank up the winds, especially here where you go a little bit more north towards I-95. They were only having maybe 20 or 30, and that's what they were calling gusty for
right.
Their area. It was a little different down here with the wind advisory in effect, but you know, that's just part of being on a peninsula and having two bodies of water right next to you, kind of lower lying area, less friction down here, not as many buildings. So kind of like a recipe for those speeds to really pick up like they did, and you know, sign of things to come throughout spring, really.
That's right. We get to this time of the year, strong low pressure. It doesn't even have to be a major coastal storm, but strong low pressure buffering up against strong high pressure in the spring. We see that happen a lot. And as you're talking about there, I mean, that's sometimes a setup for some of our stronger wind events. And, you know, a lot of the wind coming well after the rain ended and well after that initial system that brought us the rain was already up in New England. So, you know, not even a system to talk about, just a transition between that really wet pattern that we've had and now into maybe if this was a couple months ago, we'd be talking about very cold days with all the sun. But now we're finally to the time of the year where the sun angle is strong enough that coupled with a southerly flow, we actually have daytime heating. The sun could really work on this dry atmosphere and warm it up nicely each day. So surging into the 60s here Tuesday as we're recording this. Those of you downloading and listening on a Wednesday, that should be a 70 degree day for a lot of the area,
for
at least
sure.
Coming close to it. And then well, 70s to round out the end of the week. I don't think there's too much complaints about that. The sun will be out, which will be nice to dry the ground out.
Yeah, and that's definitely needed right now. And I know we're getting the same amount of sunlight, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that how weird it felt yesterday when I looked at the clock and saw it said 7 o'clock and it was still bright and sunny outside.
Yep. I totally forgot for a couple hours.
Yeah, so completely forgot about that, but it's just, you know, a sign of things that are coming. And with all that sunshine, and it's going to be direct sunshine too. We didn't have a single cloud when I stepped out a little bit earlier this afternoon, and really throughout the rest of the week, I would be shocked if we saw clouds up until about Friday. So lots of hours of that direct sunlight to help dry things out. We really need it with the, I believe it's now the second wettest start to March that we've had. So regardless, it's more of an anomaly over nearly 100 years of data. So a really wet start to the month, and good that we get the sun because we are going to have another chance for rain later in the week, but not looking to be a, we'll call it a monsoon of rain that we had earlier
right.
To start off during this month.
A much, much less moisture available. This will be more of a scattered shower, maybe even a couple thunderstorms, at least that output in the region. I mean, not necessarily knowing that we're going to get those here in Delmarva, but close to us, we're getting to the time of the year we start including storms in the thought process, convection and some of these events. But the front that'll be coming through, yeah, it's going to knock us back a little bit temperature-wise for the weekend, but just not a lot of low-level moisture pooling. No strong area of low pressure to really tap into that Atlantic and Gulf moisture to bring us a steadier heavy rain. So at least we can say that, because I think for the growing season, it's been nice. that we're getting a nice wet base. Everybody's kind of getting set here with this saturated ground, but we don't want too much more of it because at this point, the saturation of the ground leading to just so much high water, even just driving around Monday afternoon and then Tuesday morning here, noticing it or even around the Salisbury area, just a lot of high standing water, nowhere for it to go.
Yeah, and that's been a theme that we've seen really throughout this winter is we've had multiple events where we've had prolonged issues with maybe not flooding, but a lot of roads still very wet or go underwater when the tide comes up as well. And that'll be something that we have to deal with as it has been a little more wet throughout the entirety of what was winter now into spring. So definitely interesting to keep an eye on that and with how wet it's been throughout the past 3-4 months. If we keep adding to it, eventually, you know, will cause more issues. There's such a thing as being too wet for the growing season as well.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, some of this maybe we could hope would hold off until summer when we typically go into drought conditions. So that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. And really throughout the next couple days, it's going to be pretty nice. And like you mentioned with the thunderstorms, just starting to see more of a spring or summer-like pattern where we get a little more of that daytime heating. Maybe sparks up a quick little rumble of thunder or two. Looks to be mostly to our south where the 80s are. I don't have us getting to the 80s. I have us in the mid-70s, but
yeah.
My little closer to 80 than 70 that day, 76, 75 split the difference. But it looks like it might not reach it to us, but I wouldn't be shocked if we had a little bit of a thunderstorm yet again like we had last weekend. So kind of building on that since we've introduced that for the season now.
Yeah, the true instability that you get in the springtime that leads to some of these stormier events. This has been an ongoing, effort for the Deep South that they've been having to deal with these severe weather events now. It's their season to be seeing that. And that type of climatology, the severe weather climatology, starts to nose up the East Coast as we go into March and April, especially April. And that's when we really start looking toward some of those events. As we know, last year, April 1st, that was the EF3 tornado in Sussex County. So we know that we're right on the doorstep of that potential this time of the year to get into thunderstorms and severe weather. But as you mentioned, not looking at us seeing any prospect for heavy weather. We're not going to tap into that true instability, but very warm. Even with averages still in the low to mid-50s this time of the year. Can't beat the 70s.
Yeah, definitely not. I don't know that I know anyone complaining right now, especially since it's the first of the year.
I know one group, and I feel them on this, the snow lovers.
Yes, of course.
This is the antithesis of what we were hoping for toward the end of the year. And I go back and forth. I ride the fact. I like the snow, but I also really like the warm weather. So I understand where people are coming from on that. And looking ahead to the pattern shift, we get two cold fronts coming through here in the next 7 days. We have that one Friday night and Saturday that'll knock us from highs in the 70s back to the 60s. And then the second one, which looks like it could be a sign of the pattern in the next week, much more in the way of cold air moving in, but, back to kind of close to average, which for snow lovers is nowhere near where we want to be for a late season snow.
And definitely not going to see a lot of moisture next week, at least from some longer term stuff. Don't really see that in the cards. More so that cold front comes through, knocks us down to the 50s, and really will just kind of give us like a pretty seasonable go of it. Not going to be cold enough for anything other than rain, just a little chilly, but still feeling pretty good out there with that extended period of sunshine for sure.
And, not too many complaints about that for at least a couple of days here. And the cold water source, probably worth talking about this too. Along the coast, Ocean City, Bethany Beach, Rehoboth, those areas, you're still next to a very, very cold water source. So while we're sitting in the 70s inland, this is going to mean, a much cooler scenario along the coast, even without much of a sea breeze. It's just that insulating effect from the cool water. So that'll mean 60s. But I still don't think bad for boardwalk time or anything like that.
No, and I mentioned, it might even be on Friday when we can get it to the warmest point. I think, maybe a few people will head out on the beach. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it myself between that and some golf on Friday. I'm thinking
that's
about
a
it.
Great idea. You've got me thinking.
I got to get back to the range this week. That's that type of weather though. We're in the 70s, no humidity out there. The humidity is always the issue here with how it feels outside. And that's why we harp on that in the summer, because how it feels outside is usually worse than the temperature. But now out there, sitting in the 70s, runs about the same as the what it actually feels like out there. It's going to be really nice to, you know, go out there, get some swings in for myself at least, and knock off the rust from this below average golf player.
Oh, I need to jump on that too, man. Oh, just thinking about that. But you're right. Getting out to take a few swings or just hanging out outside in this type of weather, no humidity, nice days like this. We don't get too many of them. A couple months, we'll be wishing we were back here.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's a good point. And, you know, with the low humidity air masses too, they warm up nicely during the day, but that dry air also inherently cools off a lot easier or quicker at night. So we're also at a time of the year where it's jackets in the morning, t-shirts in the afternoon.
Yeah, that was always the most annoying time as a kid, having to put on the jacket in the morning and then
lug it
by
home.
Recess you're sweating buckets because it's already 70 degrees out there. So, you know, definitely going to be a nice, I enjoy spring because of that, but I know it's a sign of what's to come. Probably by, I would say, mid-April, we're going to be dealing with some nasty humidity, I would assume, just with how things have been going this year. It seems like we're almost a month ahead of where we should be for certain things.
And speaking of April, April 8th, worth mentioning here since we're getting a couple weeks away, the celebrated and much anticipated solar eclipse, a full solar eclipse that's expected on April 8th. It will be visible here in Delmarva. We're looking at 83%-ish coverage, so it will not be fully eclipsed for us here in Delmarva, but that path of the total eclipse is going to be through basically parts of the Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, up through the Great Lakes like Western New York, and pushing northeastward across the Canadian border up into New England, like Maine, Southern Ontario, some of those areas. So if people are thinking about wanting to do a little bit of travel to get to be able to see that, that's where you need to go. You need to head west or northwest. I think for us here, you know, it remains to be seen. A couple weeks out, of course, we're not going to be able to know what our sky is going to look like, let alone what weather systems are going to be in the area. See a lot of people trying to get online and think about, like, you know, can we forecast this far out to at least get an idea of cloud cover? No chance of that.
Yeah, and anyone putting that out there is...
don't believe it.
Yeah, don't believe everything you see. When we're this far out, there is, I would say, next to 0% chance that we can predict the cloud cover that far out. Just
right.
Way too many things involved with that. That's why you got to just wait till we get a little bit closer, and then, you know, we'll have some stuff on that ourselves.
And we will. And we'll also, as we get closer to the eclipse too, we'll talk about some safety. If you think about viewing the eclipse, we'll talk about the safest methods to do so. I know a lot of people are going to be excited to at least see what we'll get here. 83% coverage is still going to look pretty neat. And some of the experiments, I know the kids like to go outside and do to show the way the sun hits the ground during the eclipse. So we'll talk about that coming up in a couple of weeks. But for those interested in that, and of course, we'll talk about the weather here locally. But for those who want to travel for the eclipse, we'll also take a stab at what the weather's going to be like regionally for those who are going to be traveling. I know a few folks are going to be doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. I don't know that we've had one quite this big in my lifetime. I know we've had a few, but I don't know, 83% at least, that's going to be quite a big path of quite a bit of coverage here across our area. So should be exciting to see.
Obviously, celestial event.
Yes, not going to look directly at it, of course.
Do not do that. That's our first piece of advice before we get there. Do not look at the sun.
There's your teaser. Do not look directly at the
even
sun.
Even if it's partially covered by the moon,
don't
look at the sun.
Don't do it.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll talk about, though, the safety measures, and we'll talk about the glasses. I know a lot of people are going to be purchasing glasses that you can look up at the sun with, and we'll talk about what to stay away from and what to look for, and all sorts of information on that here. We'll probably get into that a little more with next week's podcast. But I think it's a good way to wrap it up here for this week. Enjoy the weather, those of you listening on Delmarva. If you're listening regionally or nationally, hopefully you do have a little bit of this nice weather to enjoy for the next couple of days. And we'll be talking about where we're headed here toward the end of the month and getting close to the start officially of spring here coming up. But that's it for myself, meteorologist Jake Grant. This is another edition of WeatherWise, the podcast of the meteorologist here at 47 ABC WMBT.